Amen. In the last few weeks, we have been looking at the topic of God's power. Oh, sorry, the children can go to their classes. Well, we haven't done that in about 2 or 3 years now. The children can all go to their classes. Please, will everybody in the overflow just come into the sanctuary, please? Thank you, sir. We'll wait for you till your girl gets here. Sister Anna, thank you for the donuts. I don't think any will be left for us by the time we finish. Oh, it was for the children's church. I see. I'll come after you. We're still waiting for you guys. Okay. In the last few weeks, we have been looking at the topic of God's power in the life of his children, the power that is available to each and every one of us. And we know that the power of God is the one that gives us victory over the works of the devil. The power of God is that which we need on a daily basis in everything we do, in our workplaces, because his word tells us that he's the one that gives us what he calls the knowledge of witty inventions. So that spark of creativity that comes, that idea that comes about your work, that word that you'll need to say to somebody to calm the situation, everything we do in our lives as Christians, we depend upon God's power within our lives. The working of the Holy Spirit is that which brings about his power within our lives. And so it's not an option for us as Christians, whether we are filled with the Spirit of God or whether we operate under the power of God. It is a necessity. It is not an option. It is a necessity. And so for us as Christians, without the power of God, we become defeated people. We started with looking at the children of Israel in the land of Egypt before they were let go by Pharaoh under the mighty hand of God. We saw what it took for Pharaoh to let them go. And it's the same thing in our lives as Christians. The Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because you are a Christian, you are a target for Satan. Because Satan hates your father. There are two classes of people in the world. There are, you know, when they say different races, there are no different races. There are no different races. Because God never created a race. There are just two kinds of people, those who believe in God and those who do not believe in God. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to spiritual matters, your skin color does not matter. People who are evil, they come in different colors. People who are Christians, they come in different colors. People who are dumb, they come in different colors. People who are brilliant, they come in different colors. But there are two people at the end of the day, when all is said and done, you are either with the God you have chosen, who created heaven and earth, who has said that I have a place for you. I go to prepare a place. If you will come with me, you will be with me for all eternity. You know, it amazes me when people on the streets, you ask, will you be, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? And, you know, I've had that interview many times that this person called Ray Comfort is an evangelist in California, goes all about asking people, you know, why do you think you'll be in heaven? And the people will say, because my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. Everybody wants to be in heaven, but no one wants to be a part of the person who created heaven. The power of God is that which enables us to walk in the Holy Spirit. And like I said, it is a what? It is a necessity. It is not an option. We went on and looked at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, looked at the life of Paul, people who operated under the power of the Holy Spirit. I went on to also look at how do we obtain the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there are some words we penned, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? One, diligence. Fervor. What else did we talk about? Perseverance. That there's a place where we seek for that power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in giving, when he taught his disciples to pray, he said that if our earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more won't our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Who ask him. I have come to see, to believe, and to testify that truly the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And we have not the power of God upon our lives because we ask not. And it is imperative for us, because it is a necessity for every Christian, for us to know how to ask. And for us to ask also. We talked about that secret place of the Most High, the place of prayer, which is also a necessity for a Christian. You know, I think it will be fruitless for us to be in church every Sunday while we could be out there doing whatever we want to do. If we are here in church every Sunday, sacrificing the time to come here, and yet we lack what it takes to live in victory. Why then do we come? Why then are we here? So what I'm trying to make us know since the last few weeks is that there is a place God is inviting us to. God wants us to come into his presence. God wants us to live as victorious Christians, not as defeated Christians. For those who are married, I don't know whether you've ever experienced it, that somebody will say something, somebody will take it another way. You know, it's most of the time it's the women who feel tight one way, right? Men will say something, you know. Why did you say that way? I'm on my own. Oh, okay. That's my brother who wants to hang me out to dry. But we all know it. Very soon, problem will start because we don't understand each other, because we're not patient, because we're not loving. But all these things, patience, love, it's the Spirit of God that gives it to us. It's the one that enables us to be able to be patient, to be able to love. And it is a necessity for us as Christians. I will never forget the day when I took an exam. And I still remember it till this day, because that day I saw the power of God upon my life. You know how you've taken all the questions and then you get to one question, you draw a blank totally. It was in that exam that I got up after I sat and thought and thought and thought, no answer came. I got up to say, okay, turn in my paper. And something within me just said, sit down and take a second look. I sat down, took a second look, and just one by one, thoughts began to form that start here, do this, do this. And before I knew it, I had finished the question that I nearly stood up to go. And I knew there and then that there's something the life does in the life of a student. You might think it's only pastor that God works in his life, you know. Sister Bola has told me that, I'm a pastor, how can I fall sick? You know. That was a long time ago. I won't forget. I can never forget. You know, so pastors are human. We're flesh and blood, my sister, like you. You know, Elijah is even like us, whether we like it or not. But the difference is that some of us, we seek for that power, we obtain it, and we still keep seeking. And that is what I want to encourage us all. And my prayer, the longing of my heart, is that all of us will experience that touch of God. It is sweet. It is sweet. Now, today I just want to talk briefly, you know, concluding our series on what we've been learning, about things that can hinder us from obtaining that which we seek. The things that can hinder us from obtaining the power of God upon our lives. Last week, we spoke about the when you statements in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the when you statements of Matthew chapter 6, in when the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray. And there were three broad categories in the when you statements. Can anybody remind us? The first one, when you do what? When you give. When you give alms. The second one, when you pray. The third one, when you fast. And we also reminded each other that there's this difference between when you and if you. If you pray, there's no expectation that you will do it. But just in case you do it, this is it. When you means there is an expectation for you as a Christian. So it is not optional. That is what it's saying. Christ was telling his disciples, when you pray. So it is not if you pray. It is not an optional thing. It is a necessity. It is a requirement for you as a Christian when you do it. First of all, he will say, don't do it like these people do their own. But when you do yours, this is how you do it. You know, many of us in church, we've talked about prayer and fasting. But do you know that when you is also linked to giving alms to the poor? Why don't we talk about that? We should have a session where we pray and fasting and giving alms. After we pray and fast, we go and look for people to give to who are poor. So there's a necessity, brothers and sisters. When you give alms, it's part of when you pray and when you fast. So it is not an optional thing. Remember where Jesus Christ was saying that, was it Jesus Christ who said it? No, it was Paul who wrote it, that true religion, James, true religion is to do what? Remember the widows and the orphans in their time of need. Unfortunately, what we see in Christianity today is the opposite of that. In the time of need for widows and orphans, some pastors are ripping them off. When God says that in their time of need, we should be giving to them. So as Christians, I want to give us this admonition. If you see or know a widow or an orphan, don't turn your backs to them. Because the Bible tells us that those who give to the poor, they borrow to God. That is the only place where I see that you can borrow God something. And you know something? The one who owns everything is no debtor. He will repay and reward you handsomely. Those who give to the poor, they borrow to the Lord. And the Lord does not owe anyone. So let us put it as a part of our daily life. As we pray, as we fast, let's not turn our backs to the poor also. When we see them, let's remember them. You know, sometimes I know it is hard because you'll see somebody who you might think, this person, they're going to use it to buy drugs. If you think they're going to use it to buy drugs, stop. Say, brother, sister, let me take you to McDonald's. We buy food for you. But don't turn your backs to the poor. If you see the poor person who is cold and you have a coat and you can give it because your car is warm, please do. That is what it means to be a Christian. Everybody can walk about a poor person and not look back. Yeah, it's given. But for you to stop, to look at them in the face and see them as human, for you to give to them because you care, that is what it means to be a Christian. Now, I said that we're going to look at the things that will hinder us from that power of God coming upon our lives. And there is one, there are two categories of hindrances. One comes from the devil, and the other one comes from we ourselves. We ourselves can be our own enemies. Okay? When the devil comes, there are two areas I have seen. There might be more. But there are two areas I have seen in the life of a Christian who is trying to pursue God, where the devil will hit at the roots of your life. The first area is in faith. In faith. When God has said it, do you believe what God has said? And that was the question of Satan to Adam and Eve. God said, do not eat of this fruit of the tree of life, of the tree of good and evil, period. And Satan came and told them, did God say you shouldn't eat of the tree of good or evil? And for many of us, it's that same thing you will hear, you know, in your ear. Mommy will tell Toby, Toby, don't go out after 11. When it's 9 o'clock to go to your friends? Did mommy say we shouldn't go out after 11? I know you're an adult now, so your time is yours. Yeah. Or you know something. Since my daddy had been ringing into my ear, anytime I go out, even as an adult, when it's 9 o'clock, I'm like, what time is it? I need to start going home. It's good training. But there's that thing in your ear. Did God say? Did God say it? Even when you know. And that is the root of sin. Which voice will you listen to? Which voice will you obey? Will you obey when God has said don't do and you do? And you see, let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. I have lived in this world a few years. And when it comes to God speaking and disobedience and sin, sin doesn't happen with the action that you do. Please, what did I say? Sin doesn't happen with the action. Sin is the result of the transaction that has happened. And I have worked it because God has chastised me when I have sinned. And I have seen that sin begins and happens where? Here. In my mind. That is where the battle is fought and won or lost. Because when I'm driving to somewhere and God tells me, don't go there, do you know where the battle has happened? If it's then that mind, if I shut up that voice and say, well, I don't want to hear, you know, God will talk. But if you have decided that what God said you will not listen to, the results will be what your heart wants to do, you will now do. But if you listen to what God has said, you've won the victory. Because what your heart wants to do, you will not do, because you have obeyed the voice of God. So your mind is the place where the battle is fought. That is why it is imperative for us as Christians to guard our hearts, our minds. The Bible says, from there flows the things of life. If you have lost the battle of the mind, there's no other battle to be fought. The action is only, you know, a continuation of what has happened in the heart. The second place where the enemy fights us is diligence. You know, we've been talking about diligence, favor. When you get tired of trying to pursue God, because the place where you get power to live as a Christian is in the secret place. You remember last week, we said that God doesn't walk with you in the open. God only rewards you in the open. The place where God walks with you as a Christian is in the secret place. Psalm 91 verse 1. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The walking of God in the life of a Christian is in secrets. The result you see out in the open is because God has dealt with you in the secret place. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, I was praying that, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit and with your power. And even in that secret place, you have to also be forthright with God. Because God was showing me something that, you see, yes, you desire the power of God. When you desire the power of God will come. But there's also something you need to watch out for. God talking to me. There's something you need to watch out for. Are there secret things in your life? Are there secret faults that you pamper? Are there secret sins that you still hold on to? Because Judas Iscariot, you know that he went out and cast out demons. But the Bible said, he took out of the purse because he was a thief. The disciples, they did not know. But there was a secret sin in the life of Judas Iscariot. He came willingly. Just as Peter, John, all of them came to Christ. He too came. There were hopes for him. There were things that the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted in him. But there were secret things he never dealt with. The power of God can be upon you as a Christian, and God will use you. Yet, God will use you despite you, in spite of who you are. May that not be our story, brothers and sisters. For God to use us in spite of us. No, that is not what I want. I want God to use me, with me cooperating with him, with me holding hands with him, not in spite of me. You know what in spite of me means? Do we all know what that word means? Yes. King Saul, God used him. Do you know that the Spirit of God came upon Saul? That King Saul. That those who were around him said, is Saul also amongst the prophets? When he began to prophesy. When the Spirit of God came upon him powerfully. Yet, there were secret things that Saul never dealt with. And at the end, his story was a story of failure. That strong man, the first superman in the Bible, called Samson, God used him greatly. And God cannot use you without his spirit. It's the spirit of God that gives you the power to do what you do. Yet, there were secret things in the life of Samson. His own was lust for women, lust for strange women. Say strange women? Yeah. Because God had given them a decree. Sorry? Ibrahim, you want to say something? Oh, okay. God has said, do not marry any woman that is not part of Israel. Because all these women around you, the Canaanites, the Ijebusites, you're on your own. The Perizzites, all the Zites, all of them, they had strange practices. They had strange words, practices. They were the ones who gave their children, put their children in fire for the gods they worshipped. Toby, God said, see all those men you see out there? If they're not Christians, don't marry them. Because you are an Israelite, they are Jebusites. Because when it comes down to the end of it, you know what life is about for people who are married? What do we share in common? If you are thirsting for Christ and he is thirsting for money, there'll be nothing you have in common at the end of the day. There'll be nothing to talk about. And the beauty of it is that we can communicate beyond the level of material things. Because if all we talk about, how am I going to get money? How am I going to get house? And you are, Lord, I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. I want to be cleansed on the inside. The person who is not a Christian, can never understand where you are coming from. And you cannot understand where he is coming from, because you know that what he is looking for, the Lord will do it for you. Will do what? He'll provide it for you. The work of the enemy is to make us not to get what God wants us to get. Now, that is the first one. The second one is, I said, is who? Us. We ourselves. We can be a danger to ourselves. Because I have seen that when God gives you the grace to pursue, if you don't pursue, you would waste what God has given as in that grace. Well, I can only use some of what I have experienced with God. There are times I say, Lord, I want to wake up to pray. Please wake me up 5, wake me up 6 o'clock. I have experienced it not once, not twice, where at the dot of 6, without alarm, I wake up. You've been there. But you see, when you wake up and you put that cover upon yourself again, you know, just try to do, Lord, give me 2 more minutes. Those 2 more minutes, it won't happen again. Because those 2 minutes, you just see that, it's already 8 o'clock. It's time to start preparing for work. But God has given me also the antidote to that. You know, when I pray for wisdom, the antidote to that is very simple. God said, go to bed earlier. It's very simple. Go to bed earlier. It's amazing. There was something that happened just a few days ago also. I just saw that day after day, the time I want to start praying in the morning is the time I have the urge to go to the bathroom. And when I go to the bathroom, now being able to get into that secret place becomes difficult after that. Because, you know, it's as if God had been waiting for me. I'm in the toilet. And I said, Lord, I want to pray, but why do I have these urges every morning? God said, wake up earlier to go to the bathroom. That 6 o'clock appointment, then make it. And it happened. And I said, Father, thank you for that wisdom. You know, there are simple, simple things. You might think that, why would I do it? But God will give you the wisdom if you ask. If you really want it, if you really want to. Sleeping early, waking early. Sometimes God gives me the strength. Sometimes you don't feel like, but when you start, you just see that urge and that love, it just grows on you. You might feel tired. You know, many times, you know, when we used to have prayer meetings here on Fridays, some of us coming from Virginia from work, some of us coming from different places, you are tired. But we see that when we start praying together, there's just a strength that comes, that tiredness goes. And God just infuses something inside of us. It's important that we know that. The second aspect of us being a danger to ourselves is our tongue. What we say with our tongue. This tongue can bring about blessing and cursing. If you are praying for something and your tongue is talking the other thing, which one will God answer you? You are saying, Lord, I want healing. Please heal me. And you are saying, my body can never feel well, though. You know, I can never. You cannot be, how did the Bible put it? Two-minded. If you are going to go with what you are asking of for God, stay there. And another thing is what you say to people. There's a Chinese proverb that says that what is in the buckets of the heart will be brought out by, what is in the well of the heart will be brought out by the bucket of the tongue. What is in your heart, you will say. And I told you a few weeks ago that where there's strife, the Holy Spirit doesn't stay. Where there's rancor, where your heart is not right with somebody, you will never experience the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. So those are things you have to deal with. The Lord will make you understand, but you have to deal with it. You have to come to the place where you say, Lord, this beef between me and this person, please help me settle it in my heart. As Christians, many times we have to take what they call the high road. If this person has offended you, the normal thing for a non-Christian is, if she doesn't come to me to beg, I won't talk to her. If I don't go to her to beg, I won't talk to her. But we cannot do that in Christianity. We cannot do that in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible Paul writing to the Corinthians, in telling the Corinthians about who they were, telling them that will they not judge angels, making them understand that they will not judge angels. One of the things that I want you to know, it's not easy. But do you know that Paul said that if somebody wrongs you to give up whatever, or if somebody cheats you to give up, how does he put it? To give it up to the person. Rather take the wronged as a Christian. You know, if Toby, you're the one that wronged me, so I'm picking on you today. If Toby breaks my egg, rather than me break her head, I will let the egg go. Because the natural man says that if Toby breaks my egg, I will do what? I will break her own whatever. Break her head, break two eggs or three eggs. But for you as a Christian, God asks you to let it go. And in many things, for us as Christians, that is what God expects of us. Brothers and sisters, there will be less divorces if people would let more things go. I can tell you that. There'll be less divorces if people will just let it go. And that is what Christ wants for us. That is what it means to be a Christian. Bible tells, and you see, being a Christian, just look at what do people do? Do the opposite. Do the opposite. Tell me, I know it's, do the opposite. Give me an example of something people normally do. God said, if you want to have, what does the world do to have? The hoard. God said, if you want to have, what do? Give. If people want to be the head, what do they normally do? They what? They step on everybody to get to the top. God said, if you want to get to the top, what do? You serve. Serve people. So please, as pastor, when I carry your bag and help you carry baby, don't say, the pastor doesn't do that. No, that is what God expects of us as pastors, to serve. That is what, because we have to be the examples to serve. If you want to carry my Bible, I say, don't carry my Bible. Me too, I have a hand. There's a reason why I say that. Because God wants us to serve. Paul will say, follow me as I follow Christ, because he serves. Give me something else. If you want people to come to your party, what do? You invite rich people. Eh? You don't invite rich people. Who do you invite? People that you care for, rich people. So, sister, how many times have you invited poor people to your party? Oh, it's good because you're a Christian now. Eh? But that is, But what the world will do, if you want to be influential, what do? You gather influential people around you. God says, if you want to be influential in the kingdom of God, you gather poor people around you. So if you want to be a Christian, just look, what is the world doing? Do the opposites. If somebody offends you, what did God say you do? Forgive. Forgiveness is the other way of saying, let it go. You forgive. You forgive. In the end, God will fight for you. So you see, these two areas are the areas where we have to be careful how we deal, because it can rob us of the power of God upon our lives. In the prayer that Christ taught his disciples to pray, everything God will give to them without anything, because God is God. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you need to forgive for God to give you a daily bread? No. Because do you know that even people who don't hate God, God gives them their daily bread? That's it. We're all his children. But there's only one conditional prayer in that prayer. Only one conditional prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let's turn it the other way around. If we don't forgive those who sin against us, you guys say it, right? Bro, can you say it? If you don't forgive those who sin against you, don't forgive you. If you don't forgive Sister Shade, I say it. If you don't forgive... That's the only conditional prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to ask God, God, help me to forgive this person. It's hard. I know it is hard. Just like that man prayed, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You can pray, Lord, it is hard to forgive this person. Please help me. And if you are sincere, God will help you. But that is what it means to be a Christian. That is what it takes to have God's power upon your life, to have the Holy Spirit within you, that truly you can now begin to be walk a victorious walk, to begin to do things that normal people will not do. Because it is not normal to forgive those who sin against you. Sometimes if you forgive those who sin against you, they will be afraid that, You know something else I noticed? When the Holy Spirit is in you, your heart bubbles with joy. You try going to work tomorrow and begin to sing as you are going to work. Do you know how people will look at you? Why? Because the world is depressed already. And for you to come with joy in your heart, and joy expresses itself a lot in singing and dancing, they will say there's something, either you are mad or what is it about this person? But that is what it means, brothers and sisters. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will not be ordinary. You can't be ordinary. You can't be what everybody considers normal Christianity, which is supposed to be what normal Christianity is. But that is what it's going to take. The pursuit. Asking God to search you, that there are no secret things in your life. Asking God to pour himself upon you, and God will make you victorious. And so we come to the end of this series. Any questions? Isaiah, you have a question? Any questions? Kumito, you have a question? Sister Ronki is not here. She's normally my questioner. Sister Jackie, you have a question?
I've seen people that step on you all the way to become on the top. And they actually stay in the top. Because some people, I have seen somebody who tried bad things, you know, step on other people to get to the top. Mm-hmm. And when they get there, they turn around and change and serve God. And everything just became permanent.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that.
But do you know something else? That person who turns around to serve God, if you that they stepped on, if you don't forgive, you still don't get any reward though.
Because I look at them, you know, really. I said, you really do, you know, I'm like,
but do you know why? Let me tell you why. You have to go forgive. There's a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples. There was a man who owed a rich man. When we do the conversion, you know, I think it was like 10,000 talents. But when we say 10,000 talents, you might not understand what 10,000 talents was. When I did this conversion, I think it was that 10,000 talents. I'm not exact, but just for what I saw that it was like $1 billion. This man owed the king $1 billion. And the king, eventually the man couldn't pay. The king let him go. That, you know, okay, I write it off. Go. Another poor man. Owed this man that the king said, you can go. Another poor man owed him, I think he was like $100. Well, it was like one denarius or three denarius. A denarius is a laborer's wage for one day. which is different from a talent. A talent is like how many years worth of a denarius. So this man owed the other man about $100. And the man that they owed $100 now took the debtor to prison. To debtor prison. That, yeah. He owed somebody $1 billion. They let him go. He was owed $100. And the person who owed him money said she'll go to debtor prison. And the king heard about it. But do you know that's how that applies to you and I? We owe our lives to Jesus. Because the sins we have committed is more than $1 billion worth. And Jesus says, I forgive you. Because that is why we can all be seated here, having a hope that we will be with Jesus in heaven one day. But the person who stepped on you is not up to $1 billion worth of sin. It's only $100 worth of sin. Because many people who get to the top, you know what they find at the top? The thought is empty and lonely. Tayo, you've experienced it. You know it, yeah. Many of them, when they get to the top, they see that that top, all that they have been laboring for, they get it, and it's now, it's empty. There's nothing. It's lonely. Because the people who use, yeah, you're so right. You're so right. Tell me, how many CEOs do you see have going to have happy hour together? Sister Jackie, how many CEOs have you seen having happy hour together? But you know, you workers, you that are at the bottom, you have happy hour together. If something is wrong with one of you, all of you will do potluck to help one another. If something is wrong with the CEO, who goes to him? Nobody. Because that's what they've been laboring for. They get it. They see it is empty. Because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, these are secrets that for some of us, we've made mistakes to realize what is important in life. Wealth is not in dollars. Dollars are just a tool to buy comfort. Real wealth is in relationships. Because I have seen many people say, I'm now in my 50s and 60s. I don't have anybody in a circle around me. Because everybody, I have done one thing or the other to them. When I'm old and I need help, who is going to help me? But I know that when I'm old and I need help, Sister Bola will help me. Because I will help her too. Because now she knows that Pastor is human and not spirits. He can be ill. He can have headache. You know, I can call on Kanye, though she owes me $10. Because she will help me. When God says that he sets them in families, look, this is your family. He has set us in this family that we can help one another. We can, when there is need, we can run to each other's aid. If we can't do it, we can pray. That is what it takes. So wealth is in my brother, my sister. Money will not buy that relationship. Money will not buy Toby loving me or me loving her. But when you have money, those who will hang around you, they don't hang around you because they love you. Do you know why? It's for the money. The moment you don't have, everybody is gone. Mike Tyson, he found out the hard way. Where is he now? He's trying to make money again. Because he was millionaire. If you saw his contingent, everybody, hangers on, that's what they call them. Hangers on. The moment he went to prison, All those hangers on, do you think they went to visit me in prison? No, it didn't happen. Brother Ken. Yes. Brother Ken.
Yes, sir. Okay, I will take it from the Bible side.
Okay.
No, God said we should forgive those that have offended us.
Yes.
Don't pay evil for evil.
Yes.
Yes. I've been forgiving my brother for what he has wronged me for.
Yeah.
With the hope that, okay, we are still in good terms. Mm-hmm. I've forgiven him.
Mm-hmm.
With the mindset that vengeance is God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think after settling with your brother, vengeance is still God?
Truly, if you've settled,
another area of the Bible, say when you do good to them.
Wait, let's take it one by one, or just let's hold it because we don't take it too much. That vengeance is the Lord's. When you truly have forgiven somebody and you are in good terms with the person again, you won't think vengeance on that person. But if you're forgiving somebody and the person still means you evil, you give that person over because you know that vengeance is the Lord's.
Then the second one is that when you do good to someone that has offended you,
yes,
it's like you are heaping a coal of fire,
yes,
on the person.
Okay,
should we as a Christian,
all right,
begin to think like, if I do him good for this bad thing he had done,
yeah,
I'm heaping a coal of fire on him.
Okay,
he's filling the fire on him.
Yes, you see, there's actually, because there's certain cultural things that, like, for example, when the Bible says that for a rich man to get to heaven, it would be like a camel going through the eye of a needle. When we think of an eye of a needle, what would we think of?
You know, tiny.
Tiny. Can a camel go through that eye? Does it mean that no rich man can get to heaven? That is not what the Bible is talking about. What the Bible is actually talking about culturally, in the gates of the city, because they used the fence of the city to defend the city, they have a gate to open for commerce during the day. At night, they will close that gate. And there's a smaller gate on the wall that will now be open. That smaller gate is what they call the eye of a needle. For a camel to enter that smaller gate, the person who is riding the camel has to get down. Your load, you have to take it down. The camel has to bend down, and then you take it. It could take up to an hour or two to get that camel through the eye of a needle. Then you carry your load inside. You two will go inside before you mount your camel again. So it is difficult. It is a time-consuming task. What Christ is saying, it is difficult because a rich man has many things. For you to take the time to do all that, you would rather, just like that rich man who came to Christ. What did he do? Christ said, go and sell all the things you have and give to the poor and follow me. What did the man do? He just went. No, I have to. There are too many things I have that I'm going to now sell and follow a man who doesn't have any fixed address. It's true. So what is saying about heaping, there are two schools of thought on it. Some people actually believe is that what you've just said is heaping coals of fire. But there's another school that says those coals of fire, it's like when you go to a friend at night and your own coal is nearly finished burning, and that you say, give me a few embers of coal. They said culturally, if your friend doesn't like you, they will give you one tiny ember of coal. By the time you get home, what has happened to that coal? It's died off. But the person who loves you, what they will do is that they will heap coals for you so that the coal you have, by the time you get home, is still warm. It will warm your house. So what it's actually saying can be two things. Can be what you are saying, vengeance, that is, you are saying, God, fire, thunder him, you know? but because if you read the context of, I think it's in the book of Romans, If you read the context, what he's saying, if somebody does something to you, forgive. If you do this, forgive. It will be out of context to be saying, forgive, 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 and then at the end, fire him, thunder him. You know, because what we will normally think is that, oh God, I've forgiven him. Now, God, go and do the vengeance for me. Fire him, thunder. The vengeance I can't do. But Christ never said vengeance on the people who he has forgiven and have now believed in him. Even we ourselves, though we believe in Christ, do we not still sin against him? Yes, we do. He doesn't heap real, literal fire on us. Still forgives us. You know. Brother, it is hard to be a Christian, no? I won't lie to you. But it is possible only by the power of God. Because this power of God that we are talking about is that which enables you. Like Moses said, when God was going to wipe out Israel, Moses stood before God, God, no, don't do that. If you wipe these people out, what will people say? Rather, wipe my own name out, but forgive them. So that is what it is. It takes. It takes when the power of God deals with you. You will forgive like Jesus forgave. You will forgive without thinking of retribution. It's not easy, but it is possible. And it is possible only by the power of God. Everything that Christ preached in Matthew 5, 6, 7, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, is not possible by the human mind or human flesh. How can somebody slap you and you let the person slap the other cheek? No. Somebody defrauds you. And then the person comes to ask for forgiveness. And you say, let it go. A righteous man will want to give restitution. Yes. But it's not every time restitution comes. But you have to let it go. Everything. Somebody comes. Look. Give me your shirts. And you're saying, no, don't only have my shirts. I'll give you my coats. Somebody comes, walk with me. And all these are figures of, if somebody comes to ask you for something that is hard, you do the extra, which a non-Christian would not do. Because to not do it is to walk in the power of the flesh, which is everybody can. Everybody can. If I slap you and slap me, it's normal. You can. That's the power every one of us have. But for me to slap you and you turn the other cheek, for me to curse you and you bless me, it takes something beyond you. It takes something beyond each and every one of us. And that is what Christ, that is what I've been talking about from the past few weeks. That is the power of God working within us to make us people like that. And that is what Christ wants each and every one of us to be. Then will we be the light? Because that light is something that shines that darkness cannot stand. Then will we be the light in the world? Because we are different. Because we live as real Christians. But it takes the power of God. And you can have that power by that secret place of seeking him. Thirsting for it fervently. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. That is what we've been talking about. It is possible, my brother. It is possible.
Can I just add something real quick?
Yes.
The situation we're talking about where people climb on you to get on top and they seem to thrive. Just from Psalm 37, It says from the beginning, it says, don't worry about the wicked. Don't envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like springtime flowers, they soon wither. And then when you go to verse 12, it says, the wicked plots against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. But the Lord just laughs, for he sees their day of judgment mm-hmm. coming. It says, it is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and possess much.
Very true.
For the strength of the wicked will be shattered.
Yeah.
But the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive a reward that lasts forever. Mm. They will survive through hard times, and even in famine, they will have more than enough. Mm. So I think just a reminder that God, he looks out for his own. Mm. And, you know, it may seem like they're doing well, but we know that he has a plan. Mm.
Please read Psalm 76. Sister Jackie, I want you to listen to Psalm 76. By God's grace, we'll finish there.
Okay, Psalm 76. God is well known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. Jerusalem is where he lives. Mount Zion is his home.
Is that 776?
73.
73.
Yeah, I think it's 73.
Okay, 73.
Okay. Is this 73? Okay. So 73 says, truly God is good to Israel.
God is good. Mm-hmm.
To those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I came so close to the edge of the cliff. Mm-hmm. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. Mm. For I envied the proud.
I envied who?
The proud.
The proud. Go on.
When I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seemed to live such a painless life. Their bodies were so healthy and strong.
Isn't that what we all complain about?
Mm-hmm.
Eh? The mm-hmm. people who have abortion, mm-hmm. they're having children. Mm-hmm. You, Christian, you've kept yourself mm-hmm. no seed. Eh? You see the person who is doing wickedness, they're good health. You, as a Christian, you are fighting bad health. God, why? Mm. Please go on.
They aren't troubled like other people or plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace.
Like a necklace.
And their clothing is woven of cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. Does God realize what is going on? They ask. Is the Most High even aware of what's happening? Look at these arrogant people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Was it for nothing that I kept my heart pure and kept myself from doing wrong? All I get is trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain.
And we've all been there.
If I had really spoken this way, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I try to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Then one day I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I thought about the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, swept away by terrors. Their present life is only a dream that is gone when they awake. When you arise, O Lord, you will make them vanish from this life. Then I realized how bitter I have become, how pained I have been by all I have seen. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You are holding my right hand. You will keep on guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail. My spirit may grow weak. But God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. But those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do.
Amen. 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 Let us pray. Oh, sister. Okay, last one.
Second Peter 3:9, that, you know, the Lord says that he's not slack concerning his promise,
yes,
you know, towards us. He's coming back.
Yes.
But he's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to know him.
Amen.
As well. So, you know, when we put that in context as well, we should also think of the fact that the Lord created every single human being. And he loves everyone, and he's willing that all should come to know him. And, you know, if I always see, I mean, once the eyes of understanding of people is opened and they know that, you know, truly God is the way, the truth, and the life, all these things that we see that they're doing, you know, they will turn away from it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but, you know, our prayer is that, you know, the wicked will turn away from his ways so that they wouldn't face that eternal judgment. The Lord wants, you know, all to come to know him. And he's not slack concerning his promise, but he's willing that not anyone should perish, but they come to know him.
Amen. Sister Jackie, the best of clothes we can wear, whether it's Calvin Klein, Calvin Klein is old, right? Which one do they wear today? Whatever, no matter how good it is, over time, it will become a rag. Right? Sister Anna's car, look at it out there, it's beautiful. In another 15 years, you won't want to drive that car. Even next year. So nothing in this earth lasts forever. Nothing. But God is forever. And his reward for each and every one of us is not here. But there one day, yes, my brother. Okay. That's another. Well, being human, sometimes it might be hard to forget. But if you're forgiven, that is what God has asked you to do. Not necessarily. Let me tell you what I have seen as a litmus test of whether you're forgiven. If you're forgiven, can you pray for the person, for the good of the person? Can you pray, God, please bless this person from your heart sincerely? If you can, then you're forgiven. The reality is that only God can forget our sins. We are human. There are things we will not forget, even if we want to forget it. It's hard to forget pain. But can you still deal with the person from, you know, your heart? Yes, you had a question.
I just wanted to say, as humans, our subconscious mind was not created to forget. So, like, we can't forget.
You're very right. True. Yeah. On that note, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that you have set amongst us, O Lord. Thank you for the joy we behold in your word. And thank you for just the wisdom that you give us as we learn from your word on a daily basis like this. Lord, we pray, grant us the power of your spirit dwelling within us, O Lord, to be able to live as Christians. We go out into the marketplace. We know we will face people who will backstab us, people who will want to, for promotion, step on us. But Lord, we pray for the power to live beyond that, O Lord, for the power to forgive those who mean us evil, rather to bless them. This is what you have called us to. And we know it is not possible in our human strength. We have seen it, Lord. It is not possible. And so we pray, help us. Give us your own power. Jesus, live within us that we, it will not be just mouth that we are saying we will do it, but in our actions, we'll be able to do it. We pray for this, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And let us say the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless us all.